This is the Secrets of Spiritual Sex podcast, expanding our experience of sex, intimacy, and relationships with tools, tips, and techniques from industry experts and real-life conversation. I am your host, Nikki Rhodes. Welcome to this episode of The Secrets of Spiritual Sex. Today, we are talking about why we are all having so much less sex than A, we should be, in my opinion. And also, wherever else this conversation goes, I have the epic Stacey O'Gorman here with me. She is a woman's well-being coach, a dear friend. I've watched her absolutely flourish into selecting a path that's right for her boldly after a very different previous life in the business sector. And I'm so excited to see where this conversation will go. Welcome.
Thank you, beautiful. It's good to be here. It's an honor to be here, actually, an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, epic, epic. All right, tell us a little bit about you. Where do you come from? What happened in your life? Why do you do what you do?
Whoa, okay. So, first and foremost, I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. I'm born and bred, and I am... My background was always in food. So I studied culinary arts and then I moved to London when I was in my very early 20s, started a bakery business. And that was like just suddenly like this incredible, amazing success story where I got like a couple of cookbooks and opened a bakery and I got married at 22 because I was like, I want to stay with my love of life in London. And so I had this like whirlwind journey from a really, really young age in business and in love. And I guess like just this like almost explosion of go, 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 work hard, play hard lifestyle like slammed at me from a really early age. And I also loved to drink and take drugs and do all of the naughty things because I was a very naughty little girl.
I love that.
I essentially had like zero body awareness, like had no, like nothing, was very like very much like detached to like anyone else outside of myself. I just thought like this is my journey and I don't really give a fuck about anyone else. And then what happened was I started in my like mid 20s, so around 26, I started to my hormonal health started to deteriorate and I started feeling like really intense anxiety. I had all this like hormonal acne all over my neck. I was debilitatingly exhausted, kind of just depressed, not completely disconnected to my body, and was using like going out on the weekends to just like distract myself from all that was going on in my body. And just gradually I started to become more and more anxious to the point where I'd be like walking to my bakery and like just like having like panic attacks because I was just so like overwhelmed by life's pressures. I was unhappy in my marriage, we'd stopped having sex entirely, and I just kind of felt like maybe I'm asexual, or maybe I'm just not a sexual person, or this is just what life's meant to be.
I have to interrupt your epic story right there because I just, that feels so familiar to me. I absolutely as well thought that, look, the relationship's fine. He's a great guy. It must be me. I'm just not a sexual woman. I don't need sex. What is everyone going on about sex for? And it would irritate me, right? Yeah.
Not even what's everyone going on about sex for, but like it would make me feel uncomfortable when people talk about sex, and I'd be like such a judgmental prude about it. I'd be like, oh, so and so's a bit slutty.
Totally.
Or I look at it and I'm like, look at like the most like sexually liberated woman, and I'm like,
Yeah, bow to them. It's so interesting. Yeah, I was like, no, it's just not for me. And anyone who goes on about it probably is making it up. Yeah. And that was like my whole story. And now if you know me, you know, this is such an integral part of my experience of life. Like, I look at that woman and I thought, man, the stories we tell ourselves to make our narrative right. To stay in our lane, to stay in our cage.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. I love that. I love what you just shared. So essentially went from this narrative, as you say, of thinking I'm like just not a sexual person, to then kind of reaching a point where I actually couldn't really function anymore with how my life was progressing. And I started to look into like natural ways of healing myself, because I'd gone to the doctor and the only things that they'd prescribed to me was, oh, you can go on the pill or you can get an operation to like, you know, clear some of the cysts in your ovaries, or you can get pregnant and like then like have a baby and that might clear it out. And this is a very common story amongst many women that I hear.
Right.
From. And I just thought, what the fuck? Like, none of those are solutions to what I'm going through. All of those are like potentially way more harmful than like, you know, helpful. And also just band-aid solutions. They're not getting to the core root of like what I'm actually experiencing. And they're not longevity. Like, they don't have longevity. So
I think, and again, interrupting you, because, but it's coming to me in ancient Greece, right? We're talking 2000, 3000 years ago. And I used to be a lecturer at the University of Auckland in this. And what we had is this idea of the wandering womb in ancient Greece for women. Okay. The womb was not known to be an organ that stayed in the same place. It would move around the body. So a young woman with headaches, it's probably her womb creating some kind of havoc in the brain. It saw sort of legs or joint pain. The womb's running around the legs. And then they would prescribe marriage, because the cock would locate the womb and would hold it there. Right? So women as young as 10, 12, 14 were married off. And I'm just hearing you say almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, look, your problem is just like too confusing. Let's just baby it. Like, have a kid. Right. What the fuck?
What the fucking fuck? What the fucking fuck?
Western medicine has come far, but only this far, right? In some degrees.
And I also am like an advocate for it, for emergency like procedures. Fuck yes to Western.
Hell yes.
Women's health, they are so far, far off the mark. It's just, it's unbelievable, really. And actually, what's interesting is like, actually, I recently did a talk with these incredible women. One was a gynecologist, an obstetrician, and a doctor, and the other was a pelvic floor physio. They did a talk on painful periods at my new space. And they were talking about, as women, how like as human beings on planet Earth, women are like innate, like how the purpose for our existence is to procreate, right? Mm. Like, as women, we're here to like create.
Yes.
And this was coming from the doctors and the physios' mouths, and I was like, yes. And then they were like, and it's so interesting, as like our bodies will do everything like humanly possible to protect that like mechanism in our bodies. And, you know, things like bacterial vaginosis or thrush or endometriosis or PCOS or all of these issues that we face as women, these are like things that are protecting our they feel like they're hindering them, but they're like this protection mechanism, because there's been some kind of like unsafety or essential like threat outside of us that has like, and I was like, this is so epic, because this is like, I've known this innately, like this like mind body connection to our womb, but I was like, hearing it from a doctor and a physio, I was like, thank you for confirming what I already know to be true, but like,
That they're actually protective mechanisms that are in response to stimuli that's freaking us out, or is traumatic, or is a lifestyle that's not conducive to our integral happiness. So our organs are being as haywire, right? Hormonal haywire.
Yeah, totally. And and like, exactly. And when I say threat, it's like not like, you know, a tiger coming at you or like even necessarily like sexual abuse in that respect. It's like, what is it when you, when you're a 11-year-old child and you're taught to use a tampon for the first time and it doesn't go up inside of you and it's like really fucking painful and traumatic, and then that's the only information that you've been given from your parents from like a young age, and then you're like left to fend for yourself, and then you're like, oh, and then you've got all this like weird trauma around that, and like that's a threat, you know, like there's like little things.
Of course, of course.
Like your mum and dad yelling at you when you're 5 years old, and that, like that fear response, you know, it's like can be the smallest things.
I think I was looking recently, PTSD, right? A common, not as easily identifiable, but usually can be linked to a specific moment, and treatment looks like this. But CPTSD, complex PTSD, is far more, well, complex. And it can be the result of, parenting style or shame being really rooted in the body through repetitive messaging. A whole lot of different ways that CPTSD can come up, and it provides this huge challenge for therapists and coaches or whoever is being approached to work through the work, because it's all these little defense mechanisms that come up as little walls here and there. And the rewiring and unfolding of all of those is a really complex path. And when we just go to the doctor for a problem that's origins are perhaps CPTSD vibe, right? We're only gonna see a bit of the picture.
Exactly. I love how you rounded that up just then. Beautifully done. Where did this begin again? And then you're like, back to the doctor. Yes, Nikki.
You're such an epic woman. So you're in London. No, New York.
I'm in Auckland currently, but I wasn't.
No, but we're back in the story. You're in London. You're having
right,
no sex. Story,
right. Yes, okay.
You're in London, having no sex. You're selling cupcakes. Where are we now?
Yes. Meringues, actually, but I mean details. So then I suddenly started looking into my own hormonal health, healing myself naturally, and started doing like yoga and got really into like yin yoga, and then was like, why am I so into yin yoga? And that was because it was like that kind of feminine, really soft practice, because I was kind of in this like very like hyper masculine state every day, like going, getting shit done. And then suddenly I was like, oh God, this makes me feel good. And initially it was just for that kind of physical sensation. And then I started to like really notice like what that was doing to my mental health and how that was calming down my mind. And then that got me into doing women's work and womb yoga. And then I started doing like psychotherapy, where I would work through these incredible meditations and unlock like all this like incredible power in my womb, and like we'd go into these meditations and then I would just like wail and have these like exorcisms every time I'd meet with her, and I was like, where is this coming from? Like, what? I didn't realize that like I was holding on to so much in my womb space. And and I guess that led me on to a few various like books and practices and things. And then I just decided that enough was enough. My health was the priority, and I wanted to like quit my business and go and travel the world for a year and just like rejuvenate my creativity. And at the time I was like, this is going to be great for me, and my husband at the time will be finally in a space where I won't be stressed out and I'll be like free to just like be me, and like I'll be free and I'll be open up and creative, and like we'll have loads of sex and it'll all be great. And so I went and traveled through India and Nepal and Sri Lanka and Southeast Asia and all these places with my husband, and did yoga teacher trainings and studied lots of different like women's work, ancient lineages, and just like really like dived deep into it. At the same time, we were doing loads of like couples therapy stuff. So we're working with Julia Allen, who is an amazing sexologist and tantra practitioner. And she was like, we were doing Zoom calls with her every like couple of weeks, which was awesome. And then we reached the end of the year. We still weren't fucking. We were still like, I was like, all right, something's got to give. And so, yeah, so I just basically, we decided to go our separate ways. My deep kind of calling to explore my femininity and my like sexuality and this like life force in me was greater than like staying in the relationship.
It's a brave moment. It's a freaking scary, brave moment when you've been with someone. How many years was it at that point?
We'd been married for 5 years, together for 6 years.
Yeah. All through those formative 20s. It's massive. And that's what you've got to decide when I'm speaking with couples who go, should I leave or should I stay? Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's stronger? Is the need, because you've tried it all. Yeah. You've tried it all. Mm-hmm. Is there a cling to comfort and stability? Is that what your soul needs? Because it might do. And that's really valid. Yeah, you can create from that space. You can create from that space. It doesn't have to look like the rock star marriage or the whatever porn star bedroom antics. Yes. Yeah, if you were just getting this, and I know for me, my relationship, my first relationship was 15 years, 15 to 30. Mm. And a huge part of that was healing through the stability and presence of someone deeply in their integrated masculine, providing us, rising together, supporting one another, and reforming some key attachment patternings that my childhood it was good, but it was all over the show, right? And then you've got to ask, is that the piece, or like you say, this fiery who lives within? If you haven't yet met her, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who is she and what does she want? Because she's freaking running havoc in my skin, or she's not letting anyone into my pussy. Yes. Or like, she whispers to me in weird ways. I'm having these crazy dreams. It's not, you know, for eons, women have been, for the last few hundred years, women have certainly been, or the last thousands of years, women have been shamed for this. It's been because it threatens current systems. It threatens the stability of the marital unit and the mortgage and the banks. But that's a key question, eh? What's most alive? What needs tending to today?
Yeah.
And if it's the same next week and then next month and then a few months down the track, there's your answer.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course you've got all those like pressures outside of yourself. Like you say, like, you know, there's like all the societal pressures, all the family pressures, like, well, we've been married and my parents have paid for the wedding. And like, what will my grandparents say? And like, you've just got all these
seriously
thoughts and you're like, oh, this is going to like bring shame. And the thing is, it's really uncomfortable for people, especially because in my like age gap, there is like maybe me and like one or two other like women that I've grown up with that have actually separated from their like husbands because I got married so early. It's like I'm the first person to get a divorce. And like everyone's like, whoa, like people just like literally like will like sidestep me on the street for like a while because they were like, oh, that's uncomfortable, don't know how to approach her.
You are so right. I was 30. I had had three kids, bought two houses, and I was divorced, you know, and most of my friends had like traveled Europe and now are just finding their guy. And they were like 2 months, like 3 months pregnant. Yeah. And I'm the spinster. Like
I'm the spinster talking about bloody sex recessions. Everyone's like, gosh.
Posting nude photos, just like reclaiming fucking body that's been like birthed and ballooned and fuck, you know. And I'm like, I'm a teenager in an old woman's body. By old woman, I just mean 30, and I'm laughing about it right now. I'm totally not serious about that, but you know, I felt like that.
Totally.
This is the frisky 18-year-old who just wanted to fuck the world, you know, coming out right now. Is that okay?
Also, like, oh my god, sorry, but we were in relationships for like our whole 20s, and for you when you were like 15 years, so from 15 to 30, it's like there's this whole like unexplored little girl that's like, I'm out. I'm ready. And everyone's like, oh, no, we're settling down now. No, didn't you get the memo? We're married and we're houses now.
But seriously, ostracism, family, like what? I had people closest to me say, look, you're too triggering right now. Mm. Your marriage was fine from the outside. And if you're leaving that, where the hell does that put me?
Yeah.
Or you're doing what I should have done 5 years ago and I still can't get the guts to do.
Mm.
Or I just disagree with it. It's just not right. I don't have words for it, but I'd rather just not have anything to do with you because I feel sorry for the kids. And then 6 months later, I've left my husband now too. I'm so sorry. I was so judgmental. You really highlighted an aspect of myself that I felt difficult to acknowledge.
Mm.
Blah, blah, blah. So that was like, if I'm going to jump, and I think you might have felt this, can I hold myself in that? Mm. Like it's fast activation and growth of the inner masculine. Because there's going to be no more externalizing, no more hard days and snuggling up to that beautiful body. Yeah, like didn't want to have sex, but just cuddling up and just like.
Yeah.
And just holding them and just being snuggly and just like, oh, the world's okay. His arms are around me. Like I've got to hold myself now. And what I did was like, look, I might lose the plot a bit because this teenager, she wants to explore a lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of things. Can I pay the mortgage? Can I stay completely sober throughout the whole thing? No alcohol, no drugs, no lost into any pattern, which I've witnessed others do. Mm-hmm. Can I care for these children with an integrity and an authenticity that I've cared for them so far with so that they don't lose track of mom or get afraid that I'm no longer there. And they were my three things. And if it was like, yeah. And each day I just go, have I done that? Even though the lunches took me a lot longer to make because how crazy is it when you jump, right? Everything rewires.
I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what that would have been like for you with like the layer of having three children on top of it. Like that is just like so admirable. And Nikki, how are you?
Appreciate you. No, I love your story. Okay. I just love you so much. We vibe hugely. So we're still in London. No, we're not in London. We've traveled the world.
With
no sex. Called it off.
And then, broke it off. And then I was like, okay, I'm fucking diving in. So I ended up going and doing like shamanic spiritual sexual tantra courses all over the world and did the kind of things that I wanted to do with my husband at the time, but it just didn't happen to work out in that way. And then moved home to New Zealand because I just needed to have like a support network around me with family and friends. So that was 2 years ago. And since then have very, very gradually been like slowly coming out around like the work that I've learned and have started to begin to kind of share that work. But there was a 2 year period after the separation and moving back home where I, like in that first year, it was a fucking battle. Like I literally felt, as you say, ostracized. I felt so lonely. I felt like nobody understood me. I felt like I'm the only one with this problem and no one else understands. And like, I hate everyone. Everyone get away from me. I'm on my own. I'm a lone wolf. And I'm just like, and then also I think I went like quite far with the kind of trainings around sexuality and that sort of thing as well. So I kind of pushed that to the extreme.
So, and you get schooled when you do that, when you're mixing, when you're like, oh, I'm going to be a sexuality pro. Life's like, ha, 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 another one. Like, let's work her, right?
Well, sister. It was like I'd gone from one extreme to the next. And then now I'm like, now I'm going to become like a liberated woman and nothing will stop me. And then I was like, oh, took it too far. took a little bit too far. I need to take a step back. So I was like, felt almost like that world was not for me. This world's not for me. Like, where am I? Where do I sit? And like, how do I just like get my feet on the ground and like actually just like, I don't know, start to heal in a softer kind of way rather than like reaching for those extremes or like trying to fill the void of what I'd been kind of lacking. And yeah, it was just really through being very genuine and true to myself and what felt right for me in the moment around like decisions that I started to make for myself around like the communities I wanted to hang out in and like the workshops that I wanted to do. And like, then that led me on to like meeting new beautiful people and like, and those people giving me the courage to like actually really step into what it is that I feel as if is my purpose and that I'm here to do. And it's like to share my story and help women through like burnout and essentially help women feel free and fluid in their bodies and connect with their bodies, because that's been my journey. And I understand that it is like so debilitating when you don't have that connection. And so I just want all women in the world to know that there is more out there than just like what they're perceiving to be, what they're like worthy of essentially. There is so much
big
more
one. Out there,
and yeah, you can feel at home in your body, and that, yeah, you don't have to live day to day and like burnout and then anxiety and fear and on this like hamster wheel of life in this like society that tells us that we need to do that.
Oh, what a story. And what a way to finish as well. Thank you. That is potent. And you know, happy wife, happy life, right? I don't know why that just came to me, but right, there are some huge benefits of being a well-fucked woman. Mm-hmm. And by well-fucked, I don't just mean, oh, I've got this epic, you know, lover who does it to me. A woman who is receptive to life, right? Mm-hmm. Who is like fucking or making love to life, to projects, to her existence, to how she moves, but she has to be at home in her body.
Yes.
Yeah. And if we're not, and we've been taught not to, because like our thighs are a bit bigger, and that time in the changing room with our mum when she was like, you kind of look a bit like that, or bigger size, or it's time to, you know, you can choose the chapters or the direction of the narrative now. And I love to see, I feel that this is what you're doing. Mm. It's like, you've come up, you're like, this is scary, this is kind of brave, this is sort of, there was way more safer paths I could have taken.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if I'm to live in integrity, then I'm going to teach that, because it's such a full-on experience for me. And it comes from my lived experience, not just something I read in a book. And like, you've swung so epically from one pendulum to the side of the pendulum to the other. And yeah, it's amazing. Stacey, why are people not having as much sex? Why are we not?
This is a good question. And also, just before we go into that,
yeah,
I think part of the story that actually I've also explored and like had so many beautiful like partnerships since my breakup, and have in fact felt like ecstatic orgasmic pleasure throughout my whole body with multiple partners. And I think that's really important to note, because of going from that person that thought I was asexual and thought I just wasn't a sexual person to now feeling like so juicy in my body and so full of life. Like, that's been the transition. But
we've also, that's important to note. You're not like, I love that you just put that
can't
in there.
Be relevant for 3 years, 4 years. No.
Because we've had conversations where you've gone, you're always so beautifully honest and open. You say, I'm trying it with this guy and it's fun and it's like, wow. Yeah. And then another time you're like, I knew we shouldn't, but I did. Now I'm down and I'd rather not talk about it today. And I just love that. You're just really exploring this, but I can feel you super connected to your sensuality and sexuality. And I think that's one of the gifts of jumping. Yeah, when we jump, when we step beyond where we think we can go, And that's so uncomfortable. And we face that ostracism, we face that rejection, we face living at home again for 2 years going, whoopsie daisy, you know, really, is this what it should have been? Because it's never a clear moment, you know, it's always layered how I'm feeling anyway with the divorce. But just to be like, oh my God, what a gift that came through, that this, yeah. I made love this morning, you know, I was so meant to get up and look after my kids because it was the school holidays, but they got themselves some, like, you know, breakfast, and they were alive, they were fine. And I was like, we're making love, and the orgasm that rushed through my body, you know, it's not even just an orgasm. It's like this multi-layered experience that really had no start or finish. And just to start the day with that kind of fullness in the heart, you know, so good. It's so good. But okay, now we move on to it. Why are we not having sex anymore?
Yes. So
sex recession.
So I recently did another podcast actually with this amazing woman, Madeline Walker. And the topic was the sex recession. And that was around this term coined by The Atlantic in 2018, the sex recession. And essentially it goes over this like alarming decline in sex and physical intimacy in millennials in Western cultures. So what that means is we are essentially having less sex in our generation right now than our parents were and our grandparents were when they were the same age. So there's all this like body of research around this particular topic. And obviously there's like probably there's good and bad to that, because the good being like there's new age feminism where women are saying no, like with the Me Too movement, and they're like finally feeling empowered in their bodies to say no and like, you know, have that choice. And you know, also maybe we're not settling as much because maybe our grandparents and our parents were settled and we're like, this is the way it is, so this is how we should be. Or another thing is like, actually, like, do we need more humans on planet Earth? Like, are we actually like, is this a good thing, you know? And then there's the other side of the coin, which is, you know, that we've stopped having sex because our mental health is at its like most peak, like worst point ever. And we're, you know, using so many antidepressants, and there's birth control that we're consuming and like what are the side effects of that. And women in today's society are very like career focused and like that hypermasculinity, like what are the impacts of that? And for me, that's a huge one for me. So that the biggest impact of that is the burnout and like neglecting the femininity, and then, you know, our overuse of vibrators and losing our sensitivity and our clitoris and like not wanting to have sex with other people because we're like, well, I can get myself off without having to have that, or, you know, having too much choice. So it's like the possibilities are endless because we've got all these freaking apps and like, you know, like it's like, oh, it's overwhelming. And like, I can live in this way now, and I can live in this way, and I can have this for myself. And so if I can have it all, then like, what do I want? And that's overwhelming. And then obviously there's like COVID, which is the latest issue. And that is, we're like literally having to physically distance from each other. And it's like, there's a fear growing around like touching someone or like breathing on someone. So there's like this fucking clusterfuck of all these things. And we're just like, obviously not having as much sex as we used to, because we're like, this is a lot.
Wow. So in part, I'm hearing a big existential foundation on everything, right? Yeah. Like, because we've got more choice now. Parents, shit, what do we do with all this choice? Should I even be here? I kind of feel depressed. Now I don't have an erection. Oh God, what does that make me? I don't want babies anyway. My vibrator won't make me pregnant. Like, yeah. All these kind of... Exactly. Yeah, this is full on. And there's this attempt, I think also, do you feel this attempt to control? And when we attempt to control, yeah, it's empowering because it's full on if we have 9 children or 10 children in a lifetime, yeah? But this attempt to control also squishes the feminine. Mm. When the feminine is squished, she can't receive. When she can't receive, there's no entering that there's no intercourse, right? If we talk about sex being intercourse in that moment, which of course it's not, it's far wider than that, right?
I love that. Like, actually all of that clusterfuck is the actual, like, the crux of it all is that it is that kind of like, yeah, that's that wanting or like that need to control everything rather than just like surrendering. And like, although our grandparents and parents maybe like settled or whatever it was like, they did just relax into what it was.
a lot more than us.
Yeah.
The pill was only really been around 40 or 50 or 60 years in common usage, right?
Yeah.
We're just talking about the absolute tip of like the absolute recent sprinkle of years of human development. And prior to that, I think roles or polarities in relationships were far more, there was more room to play there. Because of the pressure was not on, and this deep internal, this claim to personal agency, and like, what do you deserve, Stacey? What should you be doing? What else is there, right? It's like, you found a good enough partner, settle down, here we go. But why were they having more sex than us? It still doesn't really make too much sense.
I know. It's like our expectations have skyrocketed, I think. And I also think that, often, you know, it's good to have expectation in relationship, but I think sometimes they can be unrealistic. Like,
angsting. Sting in his seven hour sexual escapade.
Totally. Or like, you know, we're never going to fight. Like, we should never have to fight. Like, if we're fighting, that equals that we should not be in the relationship together because everything should be easy and flow.
Yeah. Or there's this tantric teacher on my Facebook page that says that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, you ejaculated.
Okay, this isn't working out.
Exactly. Also, I think this is it. Maybe we're having less sex because we're so entertained, or we cling to entertainment. You know, from you know, my blankets are pretty entertaining on my bed and my pillows. They're stimulating and colorful, and they change every season, right? My grandparents, she's still got the same blankets and stuff on the bed that she had. If we think about every aspect of life, like, I do go to bed with my phone, plug it in next to me because it's my alarm. But if I want to be entertained at any moment, I've got the whole world available on the fucking device. That society with capitalism is like, how do we make things more appealing to engage the user, right? There's this whole usability, this whole UI increase. And so people's websites are beautiful. People's like, we were pre-internet. Like, I remember the first time I searched something and I realized, oh, wow. And I remember in these early days, people say, I spent a couple of hours on the internet last night, you know, because it's just like you can type things and things come up. This is so new, and I want to make love, but feels fucking good to clear my email, my Instagram inbox, or really amazing to get in touch with some other people for my work. There's competing forces that fulfill us, perhaps, in the way that sex does as well.
Totally. Yeah. Or I'm exhausted from all the overstimulation in my day, so I just don't have anything else to give.
Yeah. No skills to fill up. That's the receptive piece. That's that receptive piece. We should feel, because there's not much access to the feminine, there's not much space given to her, because from five you've got to go to school, from eight till three even if you don't want to, right? And you're going to put your hand up and use the toilet here. Our intuition, our little guidance, even our initiative in many ways has kind of been smudged out.
Totally. It's like, I didn't even know it existed until like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, I didn't even like have a, like, as I said, the mind body connection. It was like I was so unattached to my, like, or disconnected to my intuition, to this innate like power within me. And I think which so many other women are, it's like such a common thing that we face, is like we're blocked off from our creativity. We're blocked off from this like power, this like guiding light within us, because we're just like doing all the things like at a million miles an hour, and we're not just like stopping and slowing down and like tuning in and like moving and like breathing and just like
What's the answer? What's the answer to the listeners being like, all right, that's me. I'm not fucking my husband anymore.
Yeah.
You know, what do we say to them?
Yeah. Slow down. Number one, my personal journey has been, every single day, making sure that I am implementing feminine practices alongside my masculine practices, because I did make the mistake in my journey of, going so far from this like hyper masculine, like business owner in London to like go, 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 to be like, oh my God, that's ruined my health. That's ruined my mental health, my hormonal health. I don't want anything to do with my masculinity. I'm just going to dive straight into femininity. And in that process, actually pushing my like, my man or my masculinity down and like frolicking off into the bloody fields and being like, oh, I'm so, I'm so yin now. I'm so free in my body. And then actually like not getting anything done and like, and being like, okay, maybe I need to like do some things. So actually building those two up together and like an actual practical practice that I've started implementing every day is when I'm doing a masculine task. So whether that be actually actioning emails or you know, doing the work, seeing the clients, or like planning things, or like, you know, getting shit did, essentially, I'll always put a feminine practice either side of that. So whether that be like a really kind, gentle meditation, whether that's like dancing, whether that's yoga, whether that's making a delicious cup of tea and slowly, or creating myself a meal that's like really grounding and just like feels good, and like really just focusing on that task at hand and just like dropping into my body. So just like simple things day to day, I'm like, okay. So in my mind, I'm like, masculine task, make sure I like balance that out. Yeah. And then I think it starts to just like weave itself into your day to day practice. You don't have to think about it as much.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Because for those of you unsure about masculine, feminine, you know, we're not talking about the gendered physical bodies here. We're talking about energies, otherwise known as yin and yang or Shiva and Shakti, energies that in their combination make up the whole of existence. Every atom has both the container, so that's like the masculine, and then the substance inside, which is, you know, a very, very basic, or the feminine, a very, very basic way of portraying that. But the masculine actions are penetrative, right, in nature, whereas the feminine actions are receptive in nature. And there's another podcast, we go through this amazing woman who lived in Osho's ashram for almost 30 years in India.
Wow.
And she just received sannyasins from him, and it's powerful. And she speaks about the entire body and all the chakras, what is receptive and what is penetrative throughout the whole body, and how different they are on the feminine and the masculine, and how they link. And it's really powerful. And that's right, you're just there providing an antidote for the hyper penetrative, hyper goal oriented, hyper get shit did lifestyle that we all live. And I will often rush into a supermarket and I'm like, I'm going to lose my shit soon. You know, when you feel like, yes, I push too hard, and yes, I'll stop and I'll look at all the flowers. And not because flowers are girly or anything like that, but because it brings my inner woman.
She likes it.
And in fact, my inner child kind of likes it as well. So I've got a whole family thing going on inside. But my inner woman, she's like, you know, and I pick some, and every day I come out of my room and they're on my table and they brighten my kids' life. And it's no matter what the bank account looks like, you know, I'll buy them. And so there's beautiful ways to anchor in. And when I slow down and buy those flowers, then continue the supermarket shop, I've got space.
Yeah.
It's literally like you're purchasing space within, right?
Oh, love that analogy, girlfriend. Yes.
Write that down. Yes. It's purchasing space.
Yes, man. I went to La Cigar Markets a couple of weekends ago and I bought this like beautiful bouquet of flowers. And then I went out to my friends at their shack and they were like, oh, who are those flowers for? They're so beautiful. I was like, they're for me. Like, who else? They're like, oh, it's so nice that you bought yourself flowers. I was like, so that's really nice that I bought myself flowers. I didn't really think about it, but I was like, I want these flowers for me because they make me feel so joyful and like feminine and like they're just beautiful and they smell amazing and I just want that.
Cue mini trigger from that spinster story you told yourself back in the day. Shelve it. Step four. It's an ever-evolving practice, isn't it? An ever-evolving practice, and one where you can tell, because there's a lot of women deeply in their feminine, deeply flowing with Shakti and really requiring their inner masculine to grow the fuck up so that he can be in divine union with this wildly strong and developed feminine. So that she doesn't keep looking for men on the outside who are the same age as her inner masculine with commitment issues, with whatever else is happening, right? It's working on that divine union and that balance within. You'll see harmony in your external perception of the world as well. Some beautifully, beautifully deep things to flow through there. Hey, look, before you go, I want to ask, what is your secret for the listeners out there who are interested in spiritual sex? How does one have more spiritual sexual experiences?
I would start with the self. Start like implementing like really beautiful, like sacred space into your self-pleasure rituals, if you even have one. So number one, start off by cultivating your own self-pleasure ritual. And number two, if you've already got that and that's just like whack out the vibrator, chuck it on your clit. I mean, aim into that, but also like lights and candles, you know, like fucking make some beautiful smells in the room, or like run a hot bath and use essential oils and just like make it sacred, make whatever feels like makes you feel really like soft and fluid and gentle in your body, like cultivating that. And then just like, if you're afraid to even begin to start your own self-pleasure practice, just like gentle massage of the body and like start to feel the most like micro like sensations in your body. And I would say that for me, that's been like the most profoundly like incredible practice to actually like help me realize that there is this like this sensitive body that is like almost just like on this like outside layer of my skin that exists, that is like has so much like sensitivity and like pleasure attached to it. And I basically lost touch of that because I was always focusing on orgasm, or always focusing on like just like getting straight to the goal of like orgasm or like penetration. And actually, especially as women, we hold such like pleasure throughout our whole body. So like starting with your breasts and then like everywhere, moving to your neck and just all over your body and like really gently like experiencing and making love with yourself. And if that leads to penetration in whatever way that looks, that's amazing. And if not, great. But lose the goal of orgasm, number one, and explore your subtle body. And yeah.
Explore your subtle body. I love it. Stacey, You are such a hoot. People are going to want to find you and find more about you, because I know you offer one-on-ones, you offer coaching. Tell us, how can people find you?
Yeah, amazing. So people can either find me on Instagram, which is stacey.o.gorman. So that's stacey.o.gorman. Or they can go onto my website, which is www.stacyogorman.com.
Amazing. It's an epic site. You'll get all the info there. She is a businesswoman, well, woman, with a very strong businessman inside guiding the ship. And your journey to embrace your feminine and your softness and everything you've overcome and continue to unfold into is deeply inspiring.
Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah, such a pleasure having you on.
The Secrets of Spiritual Sex was brought to you out of the desire to make accessible the latest research and inspiring developments in the field of sex, intimacy, and relationships. There is so much more to sex than friction and brief peaks, and this podcast seeks to provide a pleasure-based sexual education where potential and curiosity are cultivated. Make sure you subscribe and share this episode with your lovers, your friends, and your family. I am Nikki Rhodes, a sex and relationship coach, and you can find me on Instagram at @NikkiRhodes_, or jump onto my website for more info on courses, retreats, and one-on-one coaching sessions at www.nikkir.com.